Today's shiur is a Masechta Bechoros on Daf Mem Tes. We will begin on the bottom of Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, right after the Mishnah, where the Gemara begins with the words Maishna. And the Gemara is referring back to what we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, in the middle of the Mishnah, which is nine lines from the bottom of the Amid, where the Mishnah says, Shtei Nashim Shal Shnei Anashim. If two men, each one was married to one wife, Shaloi Bachru, and these two women had never given birth before, V'yaldu Be'zicharim, and now, as Rashi explained in the Mishnah, in a cave, in a dark place, they gave birth, these two women, to two male children, but the children got intermingled. We're not sure from which mother each Zachar came. So they are both definitely Bechorim, and therefore, each father is mechuyev to give five Shloim to the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen. Zen nice and chamish Shloim l'Kohen, v'zen nice and chamish Shloim l'Kohen. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Meis Echad Mehem Etar Shloishim. They had given the money within the 30 days, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah on Daf Mem Tesamet Aleph. It's possible to give the Pidyon HaBen even before the 30th day, so that it should be Chal at the end of the 30 days. On the 31st day, the Pidyon should take effect, and that's what these fathers did. But then one of the children was a Nephil, and he died within 30 days. We're choshesh that he's a Nephil, and there's no din of Pidyon HaBen. Meis echad mehem etar shloishim, im l'koyin echad nasnu yachsalem chamish shloim. If they had both given the five shloim each to one koyin, so it's definite that this koyin now has an extra five shloim that does not belong to him. So the Mishnah says, yachsalem chamish shloim, he should give both of the fathers back five shloim, and they should divide it amongst them, since they don't know whether the son that died was their son or was the other father's son. But what happens if they had both given the five shloim to two separate kohanim? Im l'shnei kohanim nasnu, so the Mishnah said, einon yichayim l'haytz miyadam. Then they are not able to get back the five shloim from the two kohanim, because as each father goes to one kohen, that kohen can say that the five shloim that I have is for the son that was a live son, that is still living. And the other kohen owes the money to the other father. He had the dead son. Prove to me that your son is the one who died. And therefore, the two fathers are unable to collect the five shloim from the two kohanim. Now we begin the Gemara. On this, the Gemara asks, Maishna shnei kohanim. What is the difference between the case of two kohanim? The ozel legabe hai, the ozel, the father goes legabe hai to this kohen, umatchile, and this kohen will push him away, and he will say that I have the five shloim of the living son. Your son was the living one. It's the other son from the other father, that's the one who died. The ozel legabe hai, he'll go to, the other father will go to the other kohen, umatchile. He likewise will push him away, and he'll say that the five shloim I received is for the live son, and it is the other kohen who has the five shloim for the dead son. If that's what you could do by two kohanim, so kohen echad nami. So even by one kohen, why does the Mishnah say that by one kohen? The kohen has to give back the five shloim, and then they divide it amongst themselves, the two fathers. The same thing we could argue. Lezel legabe. Now the Bach says the word here should be legabe with a hey, which means lezel legabe hai. Let hai refers to the father. Let this father go legabe to the one kohen, and this kohen will be able to push him away, and he'll say to this father, your son lived, and therefore, as Rashi says, lav bal dvorim didiyat, I have no nothing to do with you because your son lived and I have legitimately five shloim. V'leza ligabe, again we put in a hey, which means let the other father go ligabe to this kohen. Leza legabe hai, let the other father go legabe to this kohen v'litchayu, and the kohen again will be able to use the same tactic, and he'll say that lav bal dvorim didiyat, your son lived. It's the other son that died. So if you could do it by two kohanim, then by one kohen you should be able to do it as well. Now Tosfos points out that if in fact the two fathers would come together to the one kohen, then the kohen would not be able to push them off, because they could say, Memanivshach, to both of us, you have extra five slum that you don't own, that was given to you erroneously. There was no chiv pidyon ben because one son died before 30 days. And therefore, between us both, you have to give it to us back. And then we'll divide it. So Einach and Ami, Tosfos explains that the Gemara understood that the Mishnah is telling us this halacha, even if they go separately. They don't go together. And on that, the Gemara is questioning that if they go separately, divide, we conquer. If united, two together, they would be able to accomplish something. But if they're divided and each one goes separately to the Kohens, as each one comes, the Kohen's able to deflect that litigant and say, I don't owe you anything. Your son was the live one. Prove to me differently. That's what the Gemara is asking on when they come separately. But Ein Hanami, if they come together, they would have the right to get back the five shlom. So Amar Shmuel says that even if they come separately, the Mishnah is correct, that the Kohen is not able to push each one away. Why? As we turn to the Daf Mem Tesamid Aleph, Bebo Baharsha, because when the one father comes, he is not only coming on his own behalf, but he has with him a power of attorney. A Harsha is a power of attorney. It could also be it's a Miktas Kinyan, and it's a stronger shliach. Normally, just off the halach of shliach helps by gittin, by kedushin, by taking truma. I can act on your behalf as your agent. What I do, it's as if you did it. However, in order to collect a loan, I can't make someone a shliach for me, because then the lova can say to the shliach, lav bal dvorim d'diyat, my inyan here, my sichsich is not with you. My monetary dispute here is with the one who sent you. Let him come, and I'll deal with him. However, if a harsha is written, it's like a power of attorney, so that shlichus works even to collect a chov. So therefore, as Rashi explains, the one father will come with a harsha from the other father, and then he'll say to the kohen, even though I don't have the other father with me, but I'm able to collect, because either you owe it to me, because my son is the one who died, or if it's the other father whose son died, then I have a harsha from him enabling me to collect on his behalf, and therefore the Kohen has to give it memanev shach to this father. As the Gemara, Va'amni Nardoi stated, like Hasvinin Adrachta, or the Bach says that it should be Urchasa, but it means the same thing. As Rashi explains, this means on the third line, the last word, Rashi says Adrachta is harsha. We don't write a harsha amitaltali. We don't write for metaltlin. On karka, we can write a harsha that you can be a shliach for me to collect my choy from karka, but not from metaltlin. And Rashi explains why on the fourth line. Harsha ametaltli, we don't write. Why? The hoyel ve'enom be'en, since metaltlin are not visible, as opposed to karka, which we can see is right here. Mechsi keshikra, Rashi swore, why you don't write a harsha ametaltlin is because it looks like falsehood. Shem ein biyadoi mishal zeklum. It perhaps he doesn't have any of the metaltalin in his possession. V'chasimi sadeh shikra. And then it looks like the witness is signed on something false. By karka, we know that it's in front of us, it's here, it belongs to him, and therefore there's no sheker. However, by metaltalin, since it's possible metaltalin move around, and at this time it's not in his possession, therefore it would be looking as if we had edim on a falsehood, and therefore Nardoi said we don't write a harsha metaltalin. So therefore, how do you say that our Mishnah is speaking about where our harsha was written to collect the five slum that the Kohen has, which is not his, which he has to give back to one of the fathers? But that's metaltlin, and we don't write harsha metaltlin. Answers the Gemara, honey, Millie, when don't we write harsha metaltlin hecha de kafri? That's only if the lova denies that he owes anything to the malva. Aval hecha de loy kafri, but in a case where he does not deny it, like our case, everyone agrees, everyone knows what the facts are, that the Kohen took five shlom from each father, and the Kohen agrees that he took five shlom to each father. He's just trying to say that each father can't collect five shlom from him. So on that kasvin, and there we write a harsha even on metaltum, because there it's not mechsi kishikra, since the father, the Kohen agrees that he owes the money to, that he collected the money from the two fathers, and therefore it's not a sheker. You could write it here. Nardoi would agree you could write our Shah Metatlam, and therefore one father by himself can collect Memanev Shach, the five shalom from the Kaitan. continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah, Zocher Nekeva. Now, the Bach says that the words that we have here, Ein Kam L'Kohen Klum, are not accurate. If you look back in the Mishnah, the Lashon of the Mishnah is that we're speaking in the case where you have two wives of two husbands, and they never gave birth before. So if they gave birth to a Zocher and a Nekeva, so the Mishnah stated, Ha'avos Pturin. That's what the Bach says should be the correct wording here in the Gemara. The Avos are Pater, because each father, not knowing, since the Zocher and the Nekeva got intermingled, we don't know which mother gave birth to the Zocher, which one gave birth to the Nekeva. So there is for sure a Bechor here, the Zocher, but we don't know which father is obligated to pay the five shlamim, so the Kohen cannot collect, because each father can say, my wife gave birth to the Nekeva, I don't owe you anything. And then the Mishnah continues, Ben Chayiv Livdei Sasatzmai, the son is obligated to be Poter himself. As the halach is, by any child whose father did not make a pidyon of ben, such as in this case, where there's a suffix, who is the father of the Zachar, then the son has to be Poter himself, because Memanev Shach, from whatever mother he was born from, he is a Bechor. Then the Mishnah said, Beis Nekev Vizachar, if these two women gave birth to two females and one male, or Beis Nekev Vizachar, or to two females and two males, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, then the Kohen cannot collect anything. Because if he goes to any one of the fathers, the father can say that my wife gave birth to a Nekeva first. And therefore, there is no Bechor over here, and therefore the Kohen cannot collect. On this, the Gemara brings, Tana Rav Huna learnt in a Braisa, that there's another case where Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, where the Kohen can't collect, and that is Shnei Zecharim V'Nekeva. If the two women gave birth to two Zecharim and one Nekeva, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, the Kohen cannot collect. Because, as Rashi points out, it's speaking again, in the Rashi Devar Maskel Tani Rav Huna, it's speaking Gabi Shtei Nashim Shal Beza Nashim Shaloi Bachru. Two men had two wives, and they had never given birth before. The Yaldu Shnei Zecharim V'Nekeva B'Machva. It was in a cave hidden, and they gave birth to two Zecharim V'Nekeva, and the children got intermingled. Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, says Rashi. V'Afal Gav Dechad Havi Bechor M'Manav Shach. Even though there is certainly here a Bechor, De'im Ha'Achas Yaldu Beis Zecharim Ha'Echad Bechor. Because if one gave birth to two Zecharim, so the first Zachar that came out is a Bechor. Vim Zachar Nekeva Yod, let's say she gave birth to a male and a female, even though maybe the female was born first, and that woman would not have a Bechor, but Nimtzes Chavruta, as the Bach puts in, Yolda Zachar Levadoi, then her friend had a Zachar by himself, and therefore, Vehu Bechor, he's a Bechor. So, Memanev Shech, we have a Bechor here. But Afal Bihachi Haben Ein Chayv Livdei Sasatzmoi De Amar Lei Shema Ein Ani Bechor El Chaveri. So the Kohen gets nothing. He doesn't get anything from the fathers, because each father could say, perhaps my wife did not give birth to a Zocher. My wife gave birth to an Akeva only, or to an Akeva and then a Zocher. And the other husband can say the same thing. You come to the Zecharim. Even though we know there was one Zachar who was a Bechor, but each one can say, maybe I'm not the Bechor, and therefore the Kohen gets nothing. Now the Gemara wants to know, why didn't our Tana include this halacha that Rav Huna stated in the Braisa, that Shnei Zecharim V'Nekeva, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum? Why does our Mishnah only say it by Shnei Nekevas? Shnei Nekevas, it should have said it by Shnei Zecharim as well. V'Tana Didan, our Tana, Kivin de B'Shnei Anashim, Hu de Mishkachas Lo. Since this halacha is only when you have two husbands. But if it'll be one husband with two wives, this din will not be applicable, as the Mishnah itself, in fact, states. The fourth line of the Mishnah, if one husband had two wives, the Mishnah says that if the two wives gave birth to a Zachar and a Nekeva, oy, shnei Zacharim and a Nekeva, nice and chamishlam l'kayin, because since he is the father of both wives, we don't know which child came from which wife, but we know that Memanev Shach, there is a Zachar here, who is a Bechor. In the case of Zachar and Nekeva, the Zachar, of course, is a Bechor. In the case of two Zecharim and one Nekeva, So even if one wife gave birth to two Zecharim, the first one is a Bechar. Even if one wife gave birth to a Nekeva and a Zachar, and she didn't have a Bechar, but then the other one had the other Zachar, so she had a Bechar. Mamanev Shach, by one husband, he has to pay five Shalom. So therefore, since this Halacha, by Shnei Zecharim and Nekeva, Ein Kan L'Kohen Klum, would only apply if there are two husbands, because then each husband can say, maybe my wife was the one who did not have a Bechor because she had a Nekeva first. So therefore, since this would not apply to one husband with two wives, because there, as the Mishnah states, he would Memanashach have to give five Shalom, because Memanashach, one of his wives, had a Bechor, therefore, Loi Masnale, the Mishnah wanted to be symmetrical, and therefore the Mishnah would not state a case which would only apply to two husbands and wouldn't apply to one husband. Mashi Yankin, the case that the Mishnah stated, by Shnei Nekevis, that in fact makes no difference whether it's one husband or two husbands. Even by one husband, maybe his wife gave birth first to a Nekeva and not to a Zachar. And therefore, there's no Bechor here whatsoever. And therefore, even by one husband, the halacha would be that he would not be Mechuyev Enkan Lekayin Klum. So it's only that case which the Mishnah stated, which is symmetrical to both one husband and two husbands, and the case of Shnei Zecharim V'Nekeva, Ein Kan Lekayin Klum, which is only by two husbands and not by one husband, that the Mishnah did not state. Begins the next Mishnah, Meis HaBem B'Toyer Shloshim Yoyim, if the son died within 30 days. And Rashi says that this Mishnah, as opposed to the Mishnahs before, that we're speaking about a Suffolk when the children were intermingled, here it's speaking about a Bechor Vadai, but this Bechor died within 30 days of the birth. Afal Pishanas L'Kayin, even if the father gave it to the Kayin, and he has a right to give it, as we learned in the last Mishnah, he has a right to give it to the Kayin before the 30 days, so that on the 31st day, the Pidyon HaBen will be Chal. But here, since his son died, so the halach is, Yachzer, that the Kayin has to give the five Shalom back, because he's not entitled to it, because there's no din of Pidyon HaBen on, Rashi says, a Nafel. And since he died within 30 days, Rechoshesh, that this child was not a strong, healthy child. He was a Nafel, and there's no din of Pidyon HaBen on a Nafel. However, according to Rashi, it would come out that if it was Kolu Chadoshev, if the mother had a full-term pregnancy, and she gave birth at the end of the full 9 months, and the child was fully developed, where there was no cheshash whatsoever that the child is a nafel, then the halacha l'chayra, according to Rashi, would be that there would be a chiyuv of pidyon haben. And Tosfos disagrees with this, and Tosfos divrei maskil meis benoi b'toyer shloshim, he brings Rashi's pshat, and he says that at the end of that Tosfos, he says, at the end of the small lines of Tosfos on the Yomid, he says, that fil kim lon bei de kolu loy chadoshev, Ben Chodesh Tol Rachmana. It's a Gzeiras HaKosev. The Torah said he has to be a Ben Chodesh. He has to be 30 days old. And therefore, it's irrespective whether he's a Nafel or he's not a Nafel, according to Tosfos, the halacha would be that if he died within 30 days and he didn't last to be a full Chodesh, the halacha is there is no din of Pidya Ben, and there would be a din of Yachzir that the Kohen has to give the money back. Continues the Mishnah, La'achor Lamed Yoim, if the child died after the 30 days, Af al pi shaloi nasan, even if he had not yet given the money to the Kohen, Yitain. Here he's mechuyev to give it, because although the child subsequently died, but he was definitely not a Nafel, according to Tosfos, he definitely lasted the Chodesh, and therefore there was a chiyuv incumbent on the father to pay the five shalom. Therefore, even if he had not yet given it to Kayin, he vada is mechuyev to give it to the Kayin. Tosfos in Divrei Maskil, la'achor shloishim, at the beginning of the wide lines of Tosfos, the medium wide lines on the daf, so Tosfos brings the Gemara in Pesachim that by Pidyon HaBen there are two brachas. One for the actual Pidyon HaBen, and also there is a Shechiyonu. Tosfos has a suffix whether in this circumstance, where his child has already died, and yet he's paying the Pidyon HaBen to the Kayin, whether he has to make a brach of Shechiyonu. Do we say, since he's in tsar over the fact that he lost his child, he would not make a Shechiyonu? Or since, after all, he's doing this mitzvah, he would make a Shechiyonu. And Tosfos remains with a suffix. In Yoredeya, the Ramah, in Simon Shin Hey Sif Yud Beis, Paskins, based on the klal of Suffolk Brachas Lahakal, that whenever we have a doubt whether to make a brach or not, we do not make it, we go lenient. The halach is that in this circumstance, the father would not make the bracha of Shechiyanu. Toisvus adds, at the end of that Toisvus, that Ve'ein Lutmoya, why is it that by Mila, Taisa says, you don't make a Shechiyanu on the Mila, but on Pidyon HaBen, you always make a Shechiyanu? Answers Taisa, the shiny mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, the Leishchicha, because the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen is not so common as is Bris Mila, and therefore, Taisa says, on Pidyon HaBen, you make a Shechiyanu, whereas on a Bris Mila, you don't make a Shechiyanu. The Vilner Goyen Shita is that even on a Bris, not only on the first Bris, but every subsequent Bris that a parent, the father, is Zocha to make, he does make a Shechiyanu, and in fact, this is the minig in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin Ad Hayoim, that they make a Shechiyanu on every Bris Mila. Continues the Mishnah. We've discussed if the child died before 30 days, if he died after 30 days. Now the Mishnah discusses what happens if he dies on the 30th day. May be Yom Shloshim, so the Tanakama, the Chachamim hold, Ki Yom Shalofanav, that it has a halacha, as we'll see in the Gemara, we learn it out from a pasuk, that the 30 days itself has a din like before the 30 days, and therefore, as Rashi points out, afal pishanas and yachsula, even if he had already given the money to the kohen before the 30th day, the kohen would be obligated to return it to the father, because there was no chiyuv of pidyon habet. However, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, im nasan lo yitol, if he had already given it to the kohen, he cannot get it back from the kohen. But im lo nasan, if he had not yet given it to the kohen, and the child died on the 30th day, lo yitain, he is not obligated to give it to the kohen. As the Gemara will explain, Rabbi Akiva has a suffix, and therefore we have the rule of hamaitz mechaveri olavaraya. If he already gave it to the Kayin, then Misafik, the father, cannot take it back from the Kayin, because perhaps there is a Chiv on the 30th day, and if he had not yet given it to the Kayin, then the Kayin cannot get it from the father, because perhaps there is no Chiv on the 30th day. Since it's a Safik, this is how Rabbi Akiva paskins what the halacha would be in this circumstance. And now the Gemara is going to explain both the Shita of the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. Begins the Gemara, my tamai the Rabbanan. What is the reason of the Rabbanan that say that you vadai have to give the money back even if the father gave it already to the Kayin in the case where the child died on the 30th day? Gamri chaydish chaydish mi midbor. They make exereshava, the word chaydish that is written in the midbor, as Rashi brings in Divri HaMaschal mi midbor, he brings the pasuk in Bamidbor Perek Gimel, Pekod, Kol Bechor Zachar mi ben chaydish v'amala, and this is speaking about where the pidyon in the midbor was from the Yisrael, the Bechor, to the Leviim. So there the pasuk uses a lashon of chaydish v'amala. And we have the word chaydish in Bamidbar Yudches concerning Pidyon HaBen, as Rashi brings the pasuk, Ufiduyav mi ben chaydish tifte. So we make Xer Shava, just like the chaydish that is written concerning the Bechoros of the Midbar, was chaydish v'mala. And Rashi explains, v'mala means mashma la'achar shloishim. The word v'mala means more than 30, but 30 itself has a din like before 30. So just like that was a correct halach in the Midbar, for those Bechorais, we make Xerah Shava to the regular Pinyin HaBen L'Doiris for future generations. We say as well that Yom Shloishim has a din like before Shloishim, because you require Shloishim V'malo. You need 30 and beyond 30. You need the 31st day in order for the Chiyuv of Pinyin HaBen to apply, and therefore on the 30th day there is no Chiyuv of Pinyin HaBen. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. What is now the Shita of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva Masapkele. He has a suffix whether we are able to learn out the din of Pinyin HaBen for Bechor of Dairis from the Bechor of the Midbar or not. And that's why he gave his psak, that if you had not given it yet to the Kayin can't get it from you. If you gave it already to the Kayin, you can't get it back from the Kayin because of the din of Hamaitz Mechaver Oliver Ryan. Now, what is the suffix of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva Misafkele Mid'itzrich L'michtavu Malo, Gabi Erechin. Because we find the word v'mala is not just written by the Bechor of the Midbar, it's written in a second place in the Torah, in the Parsha of Erechin. And this is found in Vayikra Perek of Zayin, Psukim Aleph Tolches, where the Torah delineates for us what the Torah's value of a person is. And there are four categories. There's from Aben Chof until Samach, and 20 to 60 he has to give to the Beis HaMikdash 50 shekel, 50 shekel. For a woman is different. We'll just mention the ones that are for a man. 50 shekel. Then from hay until chav, from 5 years till 20, if that's how old he is and he gave erichin, he has to give 20 shekelim. From a month until 5 years old, it's chamisha shkolim. And then the pasuk says, the fourth category, v'im, ben shishim shana v'malo, then he has to give chamisha asur shekel. If he's 60 and above, he has to give 15 shekel. So from each category, it gets higher and higher. It goes from 5 to 20 to 50. And then it goes down. When he gets over the age of 60, he only gives 15. So by shishim, it uses the word vamalo. Now, we could have said that whenever the Torah gives us a number, like we find by the chodesh of the Bechor in the Midbar, that it is 30 days and beyond 30. It's the 31st day. So it says 60 years, l'chayra, the Torah didn't have to say vamalo, and I could learn out erichin from the Bechor in the Midbar. A binyanav, just like I find by one number, it's always beyond that number, so too by the second number, by the parsh of Erchin. But yet, by the parsh of Erchin, the Torah wrote vamalo. V'loy gamri mimidbor. We didn't learn out, says the Gemara, Erchin from Midbar. So havalahu shnei ksuv maboam keechot. It's two psukim that come together. And whenever you have two psukim, two parshas in the Torah that say the same thing, we don't learn it for another parsha. In other words, as Rashi explains, in the parsha of Erichin, we have it by the age of 60 and above. We learn out from Exer Shava the word Shana, which is written by the other categories, are learned from Shishim Ulamala. So we learn out age of 5, we learn out the age of 20. That's all learned out from over 60, because you have in the psukim Exer Shava Shana Shana. But the main place that you're learning it from is by 60, where it says Vamala. Why didn't you learn that out from the parsha of the Bechor and the Midbar? So it must be that when you have two psukim, and the two psukim are saying the same idea, the Torah means to say that only in these two places where it says it beferish, where it says it distinctly, that's where the din of vamalo applies. Now, if you want to use it to parsha C, you already had it by A, by Bechor, in the Midbar. You had it by B, by Erichin. Now you want to use it for C, for Pidyon HaBen. Of the Doireis, for all future generations, there should also be a din of vamalo, but if the Torah would have wanted to use Bechor in the Midbar as a prototype for everything else, then it shouldn't have said it by Erichin. And I would have been able to learn out Erichin and Pidyon HaBen L'Doiros from the Bechor in the Midbar. But since the Torah went out of its way to say Vamala by Erichin as well, so that teaches us that it's only where the Torah says it distinctly, and if by Pidyon HaBen L'Doiros it didn't say it, you don't learn it out. Therefore, by Pidyon HaBen L'Doiros, Rabbi Akiva says, if you don't learn it out, then there's no din v'malo. If there's no din v'malo, then even the 30th day itself, there would be a din of Pidyon HaBen. That's one way to look at it. Oy Dilmor, perhaps, ki ei malam din, when don't we learn out one halacha from the other because of the concept of shnei ksuv mabom keichot ei malam din? That's la'alma. That's where it is for another lesson. Rashi says, if someplace else there would be a din, for example, of 30 days, so then, but it has nothing to do with Bechor. So for that parsha, that has nothing to do with Bechor, I would not learn out because of Shnei Ksuvim Mabom Keichot Ein Melamdin. Avalugu Fayu Melamdin. But here we're speaking about, I want to learn out the Bechor L'Doyrois from the Bechor of the Midbar. I want to learn out the Din of Pidyon HaBen from the Din of Bechor in the Midbar. So over there, perhaps, even though there's a rule normally, Shnei Ksuvim Mabom Keichot Ein Melamdin, but this is considered the same halacha of Bechor of the Midbar. And therefore, that Bechor of Pidyon HaBen could be learned out from the Bechor HaMidbar. There's no problem of Shnei Ksuvim Mabom Keichot Ein Melamdin. If so, then there would be a application of the concept of Lamalo. And if so, the child would have to be 31 days and not just 30. So that's Rabbi Kiva's suffix, whether here there would apply Ein Melamdin, Shnei Ksuvim Mabom Keichot Ein Melamdin, and 30 and Lamalo would not apply. And 30 would be considered that there would be a chiv pidyon HaBen, or do we learn out Bechor L'Doyrus from Bechor Midbar, and then the din of lamala would apply, and the child would have to be 31 days old, and if he's only 30, there's no chiv. So I have a suffix whether there's a chiv here or not. That was the source of Rabbi Akiva's suffix. That's why he paskined. If you had already given it, you can't get it back. If you didn't give it yet, the koyin is not able to get it from you. Ravashi said, Hakol moidim linin avelus yom shloishim ki yom shlofanov. Everyone is moided that concerning avelus, if the child died on the 30th day, the halacha is that by a nafil, less than 30 days, you don't sit shivat, there's no din of avelus. So who had din? If he died on the 30th day, it's considered like yom shalafanav, like it's less than 30, and there's no chiv to sit shivat, there's no chiv avelus. Hakol moidim means not only based on the psak that we go like the Rabbanan against Rabbi Kiva, but the Rav Ashi wants to say here, even Rabbi Kiva would agree, Hakol Moedim, even Rabbi Kiva would agree that Legabe Avelis we are Mekel. The Omar Shmuel, that's the way we have it in our Gemara. The Masoret HaShas has the Girsa Omar Shmuel, and the Bach has the Girsa the Omar Shmuel. Because Shmuel said, Halacha Kedivri HaMekel B'Yavel. Since the whole din of Avelis Shiva is a din d'Rabbanon, and we have a klal that whenever there is a suffix, we go l'kula l'gabe hilchas Avelis. So even though Rabbi Kiva says that l'gabe paying the five shkolim, it's a suffix, and therefore the halach is it depends if the kohen got the money or he didn't get it yet, and there is the universal concept of a mitzvah chaver over raya, but l'inin avelus, even Rabbi Kiva would be moide to the chachamim that there would definitely not be any shiva because of the halacha of divrei hamekel b'avol. We always go by a suffix l'kula l'gabe the hilchas avelus, which are only derabbanim, because suffix derabbanim l'kula, and we're mekel always by hilchas avelus. The next Mishnah discusses a different kind of suffix in Pidyon HaBen. Begins the Mishnah, Mei Sa'av B'Toch Shloishim. Here it's not the son who dies B'Toch Shloishim, but it is the father who dies before his son reaches the age of 30 days. And now the question is, when this son grows up, does he have to be poda himself? So the Mishnah states, B'Cheska Shaloi Nifte. We have a chazakah that this child did not have a pidyon haben, as Rashi explains, because the lay of it inish to park toch shloshim. It is not the nature of people to pay their debts before the time. And therefore, we assume that the father did not pay the kayin, the five shloim, before he was nifter. Ad sheyavi raya shenifta. It's on the son to bring an obligation. He has an obligation to bring witnesses that they can testify that we saw that the father gave the five shloim to the kohen. If he doesn't bring the edim, then he has to be poyed himself and give the five shloim to the kohen. What happens if the father died? La'achar shloishim yoyim. So then, b'cheska shenifta. Then we have a chazaka that people, when the time, the allotted time comes to pay a debt, and here the Torah placed a debt upon the person to pay it by 30 days. So then we assume that the father was poed his son. Now, as Rashi explains, the Kohen is on the weaker side. He has to bring proof that the son was not nifta. Ad sheyoyim ruloi shaloi nifta. As Rashi explains, unless people tell the son that we were at the deathbed of your father, and as he was dying, he told us, please take care of the pidyon haben of my son, because I was not poda him. Now, Rashi points out, why is the Lashon here, at sheyoyim ruloi shaloi nifta, why isn't it the same as the beginning of the Mishnah? It should have said, ad sheyavi raya shaloi nifta, until the kohen brings a proof that the son did not have a pidyon haben. So first Rashi tells us that it's not necessary here to have edus. As the Rabbeinu Gershom points out in the first wide line at the bottom of the daf, the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Bein Eved, Bein Isha, Bein Katan Nemanim. In this case, you won't need real testimony. Even a woman, a Eved, or a Katan, who are normally not believed for edus, they will be believed to say that he was not nifta, that there was no pidyon haben done. And the reason for this is, says Rashi, because this is not a chazakah ma'alyasa. It's not a great chazakah, it's not a great assumption that the father paid out his debt, that he paid the kohen the five shloim. We assume, but it's a weak assumption. And therefore, it's not required for the kohen to bring actual bona fide witnesses. anyone could testify that they heard the father saying on his deathbed that he had not been paid the son, because the chazakah that people pay their debts when the time comes is not such a valid chazakah. There are many people, unfortunately, who don't pay. But according to this, it would come out that if the father died a long time after his son became 30 days old, then we can assume that after a long time, he would do the pidyon haben. It's only if he died shortly after his son became 30 days old that we say the chazakah is not just such a strong chazakah. The Rashi also adds that it's not possible here to have edim. What will the edim say? The kohen will bring edim that the son or the father, nobody was part of this son, but maybe the father gave it to somebody else. So it's the only way that the kohen can bring proof that the father had not redeemed the son is if he has people saying that at the deathbed the father made a proclamation that he had not done pidyon haben. But edim that he had not done pidyon haben would be basically impossible to bring, that the father had not given the five shalom to some kohen. Continues the Mishnah. Who lift isu b'noi lifteis? Let's say a person finds out that there was no pidyon haben done on himself by his father, and he only has five shalom. So who comes first? Should he be paid to his own son that's 30 days old, or should he be paid himself? So the Tanakhama says, "Hu kaidim libnoi." An obligation, a mitzvah that you have upon yourself is greater than that which you have on your son that is a mitzvah for others. However, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'nai kaidmoi, his son comes first. Why? She mitzvah soy al aviv. The mitzvah of himself is upon his father. Mitzvah's benoy olav, the mitzvah of his son is upon him. In other words, if we have a grandfather, a father, and a son, namely Yaakov, Reuven, and Chanoich, so now Reuven finds out that Yaakov did not make a pidyon haben for him, and the question is, should he use it for his son Chanoich, or should he use the five shkolim for his own pidyon? So then Rabbi Yehuda says, normally he agrees with the Tanakhama that his mitzvah comes before a mitzvah for other people. But here, his mitzvah is his taking care of his son, because his own pidyon haben, Reuven's own pidyon haben, was not his mitzvah. It's incumbent upon his father. So if we're looking at a mitzvah that you're incumbent to do, the mitzvah that you're incumbent to do is ha'av poides b'nai. It's a father's obligation to be poides. So the mitzvah of Reuven, his primary mitzvah, is to take care of his mitzvah, which is to be poides to his son, chanoich. What about his own pidyon? That was the mitzvah of his father. So in this instance, being poides to his son takes precedent before being paid to himself. Itmor, we have learned in a brisa, ha-paidus b'noi b'toch shloshim yoyim, if someone is paid to his son within 30 days, Rav Omer b'noi padu, Rav says that it's a good pidyon haben, and Shmuel Omer ain b'noi padu, and Shmuel says it's not a good pidyon haben. So the Gemara wants to understand in what case the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is taking place. So the Gemara says, "Dekuli alma me achshav ein b'nai pari." If it's within 30 days, and he says, "Let the pidyon haben be chal right now," then certainly the ben is not poida, because you cannot do a pidyon haben within 30 days. Rashi says, "Therefore, what does it remain? It remains a matana. It's as if he's giving a matana to the kayin." The Achroinim question this because we have a similar halacha by kedushin that if somebody's mekadosh his sister. So where it's known that the Kedushin are not chal. So what did he mean when he gave that mois to his sister? There's a machloikus in the Gemara. Did he mean to give it to her as a matana, or did he mean to give it to her as a pekotin, as something to watch? And the Achronim wonder why Rashi here picked and said that in our case by Pidyon HaBen that he's giving it to the kohen as a matana. Maybe he's giving it to the kohen as a pekotin. Continues the Gemara. La'achr shloshim yoyim. If it was for after 30 days, not for right now. He's giving it within 30 days, but he wants it to take place, to be chal, after the 30 days. Vis now lemois, and the money is still extant, it's still here. So then, vadi b'noi pari. Then again, there's no machlokes Rav Shmuel. His son would definitely be parted, because as Rashi says, it's as if he's giving the money for the pidyon haben to the kohen right now, after 30 days. So then there's no question that it is a good pidyon haben. Ki peligi, when is the machlokes? When he gave it now during the shloshim. And it's to be chal after the shloshim. La'achu shloshim yoyim. But v'nisachlu amoiz. And when it came the time for the pidyon haben to be chal, to take place, then the money had been consumed. As Rashi says, it's not ein be'en. The money is not here anymore. And on this we have a machlokes Rav Shmuel. Rav, Omer b'noi Pali Rav, says the pidyon ben is good, midi to have a kedushisha, just like we find by kedushin. If somebody gives money to a woman, that the kedushin should not be chal now, but after 30 days. And when it comes after 30 days, the money is no longer here. The woman has used it. So the halacha is that it's a good kedushin. Hasam, lav, isn't the halacha afal gavdin es achla mois, even though the money was consumed, havi kedushi, it is a good kedushin. And why is it a good kedushin? The answer is because if the woman wants to back out from the Kedushin, she would be obligated to give the money of Kedushin back to the man who was Mekadisher. And if she doesn't give back that money, it's considered as if she has received the money after the 30 days. When the Kedushin is supposed to be Chal, if she doesn't want to give back the money, then it's as if she gave it, she was given the money right now. So therefore, it's considered as if the money is here, and therefore it's a good kedusha. As we turn to that mem testament base, hakanami so to here by pidyon ben loishna, there will be no difference if the kohen had received the money before, and if he's not going to give the back the money after 30 days, it's as if he received the money after 30 days, even though it's not here anymore, and therefore it should be a good pidyon ben. That's the sheet of Rav, who Shmuel Amar and Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar Lach, Shmuel will tell you, Hasam Biyari Lekachi, there's a distinction to be made. By Kedushin, just like he is able to be Mekadosher after 30 days, he's able to be Mekadosher right now. Hasam Biyari Lekachi Me'ashav, he has the ability to be Mekadosher right now. So therefore, we can say that he's doing an act of Kedushin. It's Chal after 30 days. She's not giving back the money, so it's as if she got the money right then. It's as if the money is still here, and therefore it's a good Kedushin. But Hacha here by Pidyon Ben, Ein Biyari Luftaisu Me'ashav, he does not have the ability to be paid right now because it's within 30 days where there's no chiv pidyon ben. And therefore, the only way, according to Shmuel, it could be considered a valid pidyon ben is that if from now till 30 days the kohen has it as a pikadon, and after 30 days the pikadon gets transferred and it becomes the property of the kohen. But if so, it would have to be here, it would have to be extant after the 30 days. And if it was in the Sachlo Amois and it's not here anymore, then the Kohen, in fact, is not receiving anything. It's different than Kedushin, where when he made the Maisa Kedushin, he had the ability right then, had he wanted, to be Mekadosher right now. But by Pidyon HaBen, he didn't have that ability. So we can only look at it as a Pekadon. If it's a Pekadon, then it has to be there when the Pidyon HaBen takes place. And if not, it's not a good Pidyon HaBen. Who is the Machloikis like? Who is the Halacha like? Is it like Rav or is it like Shmuel? So the Gemara says, Avagav the Kaimalon, even though we have a rule, the Chol Hechad the Pliga Rav Shmuel, there wherever Rav Shmuel argue, Hilchas Karav Bisuri. That law is like Rav when it comes to matters of Isser V'Heter, of prohibition or permission. There in Isser V'Heter, we paskin like Rav by Yisurim Ukishmuel Bedini. But when it comes to money matters, we paskin like Shmuel. And the Gemara is assuming that Pidyon HaBen is an Isser, and therefore we should paskin like Rav. The Hacha Hilchas Akavistay the Shmuel here, even though it's an Isser, and we should pass like Rav, here in fact we pass like Shmuel, that if the money was consumed after 30 days, it is not a valid Pidyon HaBen. The Rishash asks a very strong question that we have been learning in all the Mishnais and the Gemaras in the previous Daf, that wherever there's a Suffolk, there's a Halacha by Pidyon HaBen of Amoitz Mechaver Olav Araya. So it seems that we're treating Pidyon HaBen as a regular monetary obligation, on which when you have a doubt, it's incumbent upon the person who's trying to get the money from the other person to bring proof. So why does the Gemara assume here that Pidyon HaBen is considered an Isser? L'chayr is considered a mumen, and therefore by right we should paskin like Shmuel. The Gemara is saying it's an exception to the rule, although it's Isurim where we should paskin like Rav. Here we're making an exception and paskin like Shmuel. It's not an exception, it's a mumen, it's the Geshayla, and therefore we should paskin like Shmuel to begin with. On this, there are various answers in the Achrayim. The Marie Kurkus on the Rambam and Hilchas Bikurim, Perik Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Ches, wants to make a distinction between the Mishnayis that we've been learning in the previous stuff, where there it's a question of the intermingled children, and there's a question whether we have a Bechor or not, whether there's an obligation of a Bechor or not to begin with. That's a Mumen question. And on that, Besafik, we say, Amaitz Mechaver al Varaya. Whereas over here, we're speaking about there's a definite obligation to be paid to the child. And therefore, this is not looked upon anymore as a Mumen, the Geshayla. It's looked at as an Isser. And on that, the Halacha should be like Rav and Afal Pikein. We are passing like Shmuel. Now the Gemara will bring proofs to this machloikis of Rav and Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph Meis b'toich l'amadjoim, if the son died within 30 days, afal pishanas l'koyin, even if the father had given the 5 shalom to the koyin, yachzer loy chamei shalom, the koyin has to give back the 5 shalom to the father because the son was not mechuyev to have a pidyon haben. So the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah, time of the meis. The reason why the koyin has to give it back is because the son died. Haloy meis, but if the son had not died, even though the father had given the pidyon haben, the 5 shloim, within the 30 days, benoy padui, the son would be niftem. It would work for after the 30 days, and the Gemara is assuming that the Mishnah is speaking about where it's nis'ach lo hamois, where the money is not here anymore. L'chayr, it's a raya to Rav against Shmuel. And we said before that the halacha is like Shmuel. The Gemara answers, hachom ma'eskin, and our Mishnah is speaking about this now, lo'mois, the Bach puts in the word be'enei. It's speaking about here where the money is still extant. It was not consumed in the case of the Mishnah, and that's why we learned on Amud Aleph that in that case, Rav and Shmuel, kuli alma armoide, that it's as if he had given the money after the 30 days when the money is still here, and therefore, even according to Shmuel, there would be a proper pidyon haben. Toshima, the Gemara now wants to bring a proof from the second Mishnah on Amud Aleph. We learned that if the father died within 30 days, then becheske shalai nifta, then the son has a chazak on him that the father did not pay his chayv before the 30 days. Ad, the Mesaris Hashas is Gores, as we had in the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Ad sheyavi raya. And if you look in Rashi, in the second line, in Divrei HaMaskil Toshma, likewise Rashi says, ad sheyavi raya garsinid. The correct girsa here is, until the son can bring a proof, edim, that witnessed the father paying the 5 shalom to the koyin for the pidyon haben, until such time, the son has to consider himself as if he had no pidyon haben done on him, and he is mechuyev the 5 shloim to the kayin. Ad she yavi raya she nifte, until he can bring a proof that he had a pidyon haben. So, if he brings a raya, however, as Rashi points out, the imaisi raya, says Rashi, havi padui, then the pidyon will help. And then Kasha l'Shmuel, says Rashi. So from this second mission on Amud Aleph, we have a Kasha and Shmuel. Shmuel says that if the pidyon haben is paid within the 30 days, for after the 30 days, it's not valid. And here we see it is valid. So the Gemara answers the same teretz as before. Hasam nami this now lemois be'enayu. This case in the second mission is speaking likewise that the money was still here. It was be'en. It had not been consumed. If it had not been consumed, there even Shmuel is moited to Rav that the pidyon haben that was done within 30 days to be chal after 30 days is a valid pidyon haben. The Gemara goes on to relate, Tani Tana Kamed Rav Yehuda, a ton of brises learned a brise in front of Rav Yehuda, which stated as follows, Hapodes benoy betoich shloshim yom, if somebody redeemed his son within 30 days, benoy potter, his son has a valid pidyon haben. And we are assuming that he didn't say me'achshav, that should be chal now to pidyon haben within the 30 days. He was doing it for after the 30 days, and it's a case of nis'ach la'mois. And we see from this brisa that the din is benoy padui, omar lei. So Rav Yehuda, when he heard this brisa, said to the Tana of the brisa, Shmuel omar ein benoy padui. Shmuel says that his son does not have a valid pidyon haben if it's nis'ach la'mois, va'at amrad benoy padui. And you are saying from the brisa that his son did have a proper pidyon haben, and the Bach now puts in the words, Tani ein benoy padui. So the Tana said, ein echanami, based on your question, I will have to change my mesora of this brice, and I will have to say that the brice really said that ein benoy padui like Shmuel. And the Gemara concludes, as it said before, the Avagav, the Kamalon, Rav Bisuri, and even though we hold like Rav Bisurim, Bechol Hashas, Uki Shmuel Bedini, Bedini Mominus, we always paskin like Shmuel. Hacho here, where, as we explained before from the Marie Kirkus, we consider this an Isser, because there's a Vadai Chiev to the Kayin. There's no suffix here that there's a Chiev to the Kayin. The initial Chiev, the question of that Chiev has been satisfied or not. So then we consider it an Isser Dikadin and not a Mominus Dikadin. So therefore, it should have been that we paskin like Rav Bisuri. Hacha Hilchas Kavaseir Shmuel. Here, the halacha is an exception to the rule that the halacha is like Shmuel, that it is not considered a valid pidyon haben if the mois was nis'ach lo, if the money was consumed after the 30 days. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. Hu liftois, ubenoi liftois, if he only has 5 shloim. and he discovered that he himself needed a pidyon haben, that his father had not done a pidyon haben on him, and he has to do it for his son as well. So who is he poided with the five shloim? So the Tanakhama says, who kaidim libnoi? He uses the five shloim for himself before he uses it for his son. And on that, Rabbi Yehuda argued. And now the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that says the same as our Mishnah, Tana Rabban, and we learned in a brisa, who liftois b'nai liftois, who kaidim libnoi? Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Rabbi Yehuda says, as he says in our Mishnah, b'nai kaidmai. First, he should be poided with the five shloim, his son. Why? She mitzvah soy al aviv. His own mitzvah of pidyon haben, Reuven's mitzvah of pidyon haben on himself, was on Reuven's father Yaakov. U'mitzvahs b'noi olav. And Chanoch, the son of Reuven, his pidyon haben is obligated on Reuven, and therefore the mitzvah that Reuven has first is to be poided his son. That is the simple way that we understood the Mishnah and the simple reading of the Braisa. However, the Gemara now is going to introduce Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah gives us a whole new dimension of understanding of what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. And Rabbi Yehuda was not saying what we have just said in his name. He meant something else entirely. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Hakol Moedim, everybody agrees, Heicha Delek Elochamish Shloim, if the father only has five Shloim, then even Rabbi Yehuda is Moedim, that who Kaidim Libnoi, that he is obligated to do Pidyon HaBen on himself before his son. My time, what's the reason? The mitzvah, the day odiv. His mitzvah comes first. Even if we'll say that the mitzvah of Reuven is on his father Yaakov, the grandfather of Chanoich, however, since it is a mitzvah that Reuven has a pidyon haben done on himself, even though that initial mitzvah was on the grandfather Yaakov, but it pertains to Reuven himself, so everyone's moida that first you have to take care of yourself, that you have pidyon haben. So when Rabbi Yehuda said, b'noi koid mashir mitzvah se alav, if a mitzvah is b'noi alav, he didn't mean because his mitzvah is on his father, and his son's mitzvah is on himself, literally, and therefore the son comes first. Because if there was only five shloim, adarabba, Reuven would come first. So what did Rabbi Yehuda mean? Because they're arguing in a whole different case. They're not arguing when there's only five shloim. If there's only five shloim, Rabbi Yehuda would be moida, that he has to take care of himself first. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokes? Heicha deika chamesh meshubadais, v'chamesh b'nei chayim. It's speaking about that really the father, Reuven, has 10 shloim. However, 5 of those shloim were encumbered. There was a lien on them. They were sold to Lekuchais. And 5 were B'nai Chayrin. 5 were owned by Reuven without any lien on them. In other words, Yaakov, the grandfather, had property. And then his son Reuven was born. And then he sold that property. And now that property became a shubad for the chayiv to pay the kayin for the pidyon haben. Afterwards, Reuven had a son, Chanoich. So it comes out that Reuven's chiv of pidyon haben was before the property was sold, whereas Chanoich's pidyon haben, that was after the property was sold. So now let's continue the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Sofer, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, Milva haksuva b'tayra kiksuva b'shtar dami. We've already had this in the Daf before. There's a question whether a obligation of the Torah places on a person like pidyon haben, is that considered that it's only a oral chayv, that it's not written in a shtar, it's not written in a document, or is it considered like it's written in a document? Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's considered like it's written in a document. And if it's written in a document, then the lekuchos, the ones who buy the property, are considered knowledgeable that there's a lien on this property because of the chov, and therefore buyer beware, and therefore we will collect the chayv from the lekuchos, because there was a lien on it because of the chiyuv to pay the pidyon haben. So now Rabbi Yehuda continues, Vidi Day, his own obligation, Reuven's obligation, Ozl v'tarfim v'shabdi. The Kayin will be able to collect that from the fields that have a lien on them, that were sold to the Lekuchas, because they were sold after the obligation of the Pidyon HaBen of Reuven. Ubahani Chamish b'nei Chayrin, and in the five Slorim that he has, that there is no Shibud on those five Slorim, they were not sold to Lekuchas. This is property that Reuven has. Parik Leilebrei, with that he will do Pidyon HaBen on his son. So in other words, if he were to use the five B'nei Chorin, where there's no lien on it, if he would, it was not sold to Lekuchos, and it's something that he has available, if he was to give that to the Kohen for his own Pidyon HaBen of Reuven, then the Kohen would not be able to go to the Lekuchos, because now he wants to collect Chanoich. Chanoich's Pidyon HaBen was... his obligation of Pidyon HaBen happened after the field was sold, and therefore the one who bought the field has no obligation to pay that Pidyon HaBen. However, if Reuven will fulfill his Pidyon HaBen through the fields that the Lekuchos bought, and his Pidyon HaBen was before the fields were bought, and therefore there's a shibud, there's a lien on that property. So Reuven's own Pidyon HaBen can be taken from the Mishubadim, and his son Chanoch, that will be paid from the B'nai Chayrin. However, Tosfos in Divrei HaMaschil V'Didei Ozel V'Tarif asks that the way the order appears in the Gemara, we have a problem, because the Gemara is saying first, V'Didei Ozel V'Tarif M'Shabdei, first the Kohen will go to take Reuven's obligation from the Mishubadim, from those fields that were bought, and then he'll use the five B'nai Chayrin for Chanoch. Ask Taisvis, how can the Kayin go and collect Reuven's Pidyon HaBen from the Lekuchos? We have a rule that Ein Ephraim and Achasim Mishubadim B'makim She'esh B'nai Chayrin. If Reuven owns five Slorim of B'nai Chayrin, then the Kayin has no right to go to the Mishubadim. The Mishubadim can say, wait a second, what are you collecting from us? Reuven has five Slorim, take from Reuven. You can't come to us before you've gone to Reuven himself. If Reuven doesn't have, then you can come to us, but Reuven has. So therefore, Tosfos says, we'll have to say that the order of the Gemara here is Lav Dafka. It's not that the Kayin goes first and collects Reuven from the Mishubadim, and then Chanoch from the Bnei Chayrin. But Adarab, and in fact, the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chavtes, where the Sugya is brought as well, there the Gemara says clearly that first the Kayin goes and collects from the Bnei Chayrin on behalf of Chanoch. Now Reuven has nothing left. If Reuven has nothing left, then the Kayin has a right to go to the Mishubadim and collect it on behalf of Reuven himself. So the order that we have in our Gemara is Lav Dafka. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So now, when Rabbi Yehuda said, B'nai kaidmai, shemitzvasei al aviv, u'mitzvas b'nai olav, it's not like we learned before, because since you have an obligation of your son, that you have to take care of your son, therefore that chiv comes before the obligation to take care of yourself, because if you only had five shalom, you would have to take care of yourself, even though that was a chiv on Yaakov, the grandfather. But since it's Nageya Reuven himself, he has to take care of himself first. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to say is that in this case where he had five Mishubadim and five B'nai Chayrin, the mitzvah soy, your mitzvah to take care of yourself, that is al aviv. That was already incumbent on your father, and therefore the property that was sold was already Mishubad. It was sold after you were born, Reuven, so it was already Mishubad to the Kayin for your Pidyon HaBen. That took place before your son, mitzvah b'nai olav. The mitzvah of your son is on you, meaning that your son was born after that property was sold. So there is no obligation on, there's no lien on the property on behalf of your son. So therefore, you collect, your Pidyon HaBen is collected by the Kayin from the Mishubadim, and the B'nai Chayrin will work for your son. That's how we'll have to understand what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Now, what is the shita of the Chachamim? Rabban and Savri, milva ksuva Torah, lav ksuva b'shtar damya. That a milva that's written in the Torah does not have a din of a milva that's written in a shtar, and therefore it's a milva alpeh. And a milva alpeh, we know, cannot, an oral loan which was not documented cannot be collected from the lekuchas. It's a takana for the lekuchas because they are not aware that there was a lien if it's not documented, and therefore you cannot collect for lekuchas. So therefore it comes out that all the person has, all Reuven has, is only the five b'nei chayrin. You can't go and collect the five mishubadim if it's a milva alpeh. And since there's only five, hilkach mitzvah the day adif. Therefore, everybody's might, as we said before, if you only have five, which in this case, it's tantamount that you only have five because you can't go to the mishubadim with a milva alpeh. So then, the rabbanon hold that mitzvah the day adif, you have to first be paida yourself. Now, the Mishnah Brura in Hilchas Lulav Siman Tav Reish Nun Vav asks a very strong question from our Gemara to something that the Ramah there says. The Ramah of Paskins in Sif Aleph, Umi She'en Loi Esrit, Oishar Mitzvah Iveris, Ein Tzorech Levazvus Aleh Hoin Rav, Ukamoy She'amru HaMevazvus Aleh Yevazvus Yoyetsu Michaimish. For a loisa say, you have to give all your money, not to be over a loisa say, as the Ramah continues to say there. But for a mitzvah say, you don't have to give away all your money. The most you have to give away is a fifth. Ask the Mishnah Berura in the Bir Halacha, Divrei Maskala, Filo Mitzvah Iveres, that L'chayra, this din, which is predicated on a Gemara in Bava Kama, is Tzarech Iyin from the Sugi in Kedushin Daf Chav Tes, which is the same Sugi as we have here in Bechayris. The Mevur Sham, Gabi Pidyon Aben, the Afim Ein Loi Rak He Slaim, if all he owns is only five Slaim, Tzarech Lifteis Atzmai. And according to what the Ramah says, the din should be, he's not chayv to be part of himself, because all he has is five Slaim. And maybe you'll say that the five slum that we're talking about is taka one-fifth. He has 25 slum, and the Gemara is speaking about a fifth, which is five slum. That can't be, because if he has 25 slum, then how is it possible that Rabbi Yehuda says that he goes, the Kohen goes to the five slum that are meshubed? By the way, the Yad Binyamin speaks out. He doesn't go to the field itself, because you can't use a field for Pidyon HaBen. You have to give Kesef. It means that he has five Meshubadim, which can be sold for Kesef, and that money will be given to the Kayit. But be that as it may, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying? That the Kayit is going to go to the Meshubadim? How can he go to the Meshubadim? If it's speaking about a case where the father has 25 Shloim, and we're discussing a fifth of the 25, well, then he has B'nai Chorin. He has unencumbered property that can be converted into cash, and the Kohen can get it from there. And then he can't go to the Mishabot. It must be that we're speaking about here that he only has five slot. He has five B'nai Chorin and five Mishabot. And we have a question whether a Pidyon HaBen is a Milva Ksuva B'Shtar or it's a Milva Alpeh, whether you can collect from the Mishabot. But what does he wind up with? According to the Rabbanan, he winds up only with five slot because he can't go and collect from the Mishabot. If he only has five slot and nothing else, so you just told me to Ramah Mavazviz Al Yavazviz Yosef Mechaimish, that the most that you can expect for a mitzvah is just like by tztuk, you don't give more than a fifth of your property, so to do a mitzvah, you don't have to give more than a fifth. Here, he only has five slum to his name, and you're expecting him to be paid himself. So the Chazon Ish in Yoredei and Siman Kuf Pei Zayin says a very fundamental answer on this question of the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Chazon Ish, Va'omnam be'ikar adover nireh, the pidyon b'noi shiny mikol mitzvahs. Pidyon aben is different than all other mitzvahs. Kivan, the yesh kan shibud nechasim. Since we see a concept that there is, if it's a milva ksuva b'shtar, there's a shibud nechasim, v'harei shemachar nechasav, if somebody sold his property, v'ein loy tzitzis bebigdoi, u'mezuzah bepischai, u'tfilin b'raishai, ein loy mitzi nechasav melekuchais, liknais tfilin, there's no din by any other mitzvah that you can go to the lekuchais and I need money because I have a mitzvah to buy tfilin or tzitzis or mezuzah. Ubepidyon aben, havi milvak suva batira. By pidyon aben, it's a milvak suva batira. Ubeze loy mifter bameh she'ein nechasav merubin. So the Chazon Ish wants to say, if we see a concept that a milvak suva batira is considered a milva bishtar, and therefore you can collect even from the mishubadim, so we see that Pidyon HaBen is different than a regular mitzvah. It's a chayv that the Torah put on a person. And in Mela there, it's not possible, says the Chazon Ish, to pater him from the fact that he doesn't have enough property. He has to take care of that chayv. The only ha'ara one could ask is that the Rabbanan, who hold milvah b'tayra is lav kiksuvi b'shtar dami, that it is a milvah al peh. So l'chayra in the Rabbanan, when he only has five shlomim, he has to be paid himself. L'chayra, we don't see this concept that pidyon haben can collect from a shubadim. And yet we're saying in the Rabbanan that, according to the Rabbanan, he would have to give his five shlomim to be paid to himself. L'chayra, this would be how Ara on the Chazayin Ish. I asked Rav Herschel Shechter Shlita this question, and he said that the Chazayin Ish would be going even according to the Rabbanan, because even according to the Rabbanan, it's considered a milveh haksuva b'tayra, even though it's not suva b'shtar, but it's still a milveh al peh. And there's a shibud on the person, on his guf, not on his property, but on his guf there's a shibud, not on property that he sold, lekuchais, but there is a shibud haguf. So this mitzvah is different than a regular mitzvah, since it is a milveh, it's a chayv that the Torah put on a person, and therefore there would not be a din of chomesh as there is by other mitzvahs.